Good morning. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. And I'm Brian Chaffin. Today is Wednesday, May 20th.
2015, for those of you playing
2015.
That is Brian Chaffin. That's Kelly Gaumont. Is that the right way to pronounce your name, right, Kelly? We've been through this conversation before, right?
Yeah, you're way closer than most people are. It's totally awesome.
Sweet.
And that's Dave Hamilton.
It is. I am Dave Hamilton, the one pressing the record button this week while Jeff is traveling and out at the Aces conference. But we're shooting aces here, too. So it's all good. And our sponsor for this week is Linda at LYNDA.com/TDO. Linda brings you some fantastic training videos, and that URL will get you 10 days free. We'll talk more about that somewhere later in the episode. But for right now, we have a couple of pieces of news to talk about. Brian, why don't you lead us off?
All right. Well, let's see, what do we have this morning. We have Spotify announcing that they want to get bigger and basically be the end all be all content delivery system for us with videos and podcasts
and more.
Finally.
And it looks like some original content coming too, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things happening there.
There are all kinds of things happening. And my question for both of you is, do we care? Do we need this?
Well, yeah, I do. And here's why I think we need it. And I'm speaking very specifically about podcasting. No one has gotten a podcast directory right yet. And I'm not convinced that Spotify will, but they've done pretty good with the whole music thing, whereas iTunes hasn't really done all that great with music as a directory either. So I think we have a good chance of Spotify getting the exposure for podcasts listeners to the right podcasts. They have a good chance of getting it right. I mean, we've got iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify. You know, will be probably the third largest directory initially, and very quickly probably be number two. It'll probably beat out Stitcher.
Well, you know, as we were chewing over this this news earlier today in our morning staff meeting, the thought that leapt to my head was that discovery for podcasts in particular, that is one thing that Spotify could conceivably bring.
Oh, I think that's what they bring. I mean, I think that's the big play.
Well, that's their opportunity. Whether or not they do it is another matter.
Sure. Sure. That's right. Yeah.
Because discovery with podcasts is, Leah, this is, I mean, essentially to what you were just speaking, but discovery with podcasts is at least as bad online as it is with music and books. At least. And it may be worse.
Yeah, I think it's worse.
And that's saying something.
And that's saying something. Yeah,
totally. Because I mean, you know, that's the interesting thing. This is the interesting conundrum as we transition to this digital world, where, and it is still it's an ongoing transition despite the success of, you know, all of the various digital delivery systems that are out there, is that discovery stinks compared to browsing in a brick and mortar store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but look at Spotify, right? They do pretty well because they get the social part of it less wrong than anyone else.
That's the best description of it so far, I think, is less wrong.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me about reading the blog post that they put up about the new stuff in Spotify is that there's at least two or three different places where what they point out is the music.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Kelly?
Well, we seem to have lost her.
Yeah, sure seems that way. Let's see if we can get Kelly back. And Kelly's back. So continue, please.
Hi. So the thing that I thought was interesting was in reading this, there's a mention of More Than Music is kind of the section head they put it under. And they talk about, we've got some video clips and maybe you want to listen to a podcast or something. And that's great. But we know you use Spotify for running and we're going to integrate with Runkeeper. Right now you can do stuff with Nike Plus and we've got special stuff coming because Spotify running, is going to be its own section and we're going to have different stuff in there and like different playlists for people depending on the tempo that you like to run. And so it seems to me like they're sort of gunning for people who run. And then additionally, like, oh, and we've got some stuff from ESPN and ABC and BBC. And, you know, you can listen to a podcast if you want to. But if you're a runner, you should totally check out our new stuff. And it's kind of an interesting way to read it, because the thing that I've been seeing in my Twitter feed this morning and the thing that we talked about the most in our staff meeting and already today is I can get podcasts on Spotify. And to me, the exciting piece of that is less time in iTunes.
Right.
For people who already have that. So I think this is probably another way to get people to just spend more time in Spotify for whatever reason. And they do have some decent discovery relatively, yeah, you know, compared to what I get from other places.
It's the best. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's going to bring a lot of listeners.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I gotta have to say, it's come back to your earlier point though, Dave. It's the least worst.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But that's awesome. I mean, you know, Apple just hasn't iterated at all on this.
Well, Amazon though, who is generally speaking the king of discovery, also really hasn't gotten the stuff right either. I mean, Amazon, it's different channels, of course, but yeah, you know, Amazon is another least worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just discovery online is hard.
It is hard. It's true. But, I think there's a good chance here that Spotify is going to get this way better than anyone else has. And I think, you know, they're like, I think you're running the running thing that they're focusing on. I think we're going to see more of that, you know, podcasts that you might like because you're a techie and like Stitcher, right? Stitcher gets it better than iTunes because they'll just flow you from one show to another at times. And that's what you want, right? You know, you mm-hmm. might like this, you might like that. And here it is, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what iTunes does, which is, oh yeah, if you want to hear other things, you have to dig over here to maybe see yeah. what that might be.
Yeah. Well, it seems like Apple kind of gave up though. Like when I think of discovery of almost anything where I have to spend time in iTunes to do it, most of what I see there is sort of benevolent neglect. It's kind of always looked that way. They didn't really try to do anything different or interesting to change it. Like they gave Ping a shot so that you could share stuff with other people that you knew, and that kind of failed. And since then, it's like none of that has changed at all. There's, you know, if you like Mac Geek Gab, you might like this other podcast about Mac and cheese. Yeah. Like there's very little actual like power, you know, like brain power going into any of that. And so it sort of seems like iTunes is going, well, we listed it and that's good enough. And it was good enough, you know, 10 years ago or 15 or whatever it was when you started getting podcasts in iTunes and there were like 100 and you could scroll through the page and that was all the podcasts you could see in iTunes.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my lawn. You're on it.
No, it's interesting because I that's how it comes across as a user. But I know the people that put the directory together and they're some of the smartest people I know, they're limited in the format that they can do anything. Yeah, they can feature some stuff at the top and they do. And that totally helps. But yeah, it's not a great experience for the user. And I think really what's going on here is Spotify. Yes, they have the opportunity to take their discovery engine and knowledge and apply it to podcasts, and that's great. But for Spotify, the reason I think they're doing this is to keep people in the Spotify universe, right? We know you like podcasts. We know podcasts are a big deal. And it's just audio content. You know, we talked about this briefly yesterday, Brian. You know, the term podcast is not incorrect. It's not bad, but it's also just not necessary in today's world, right? It's just yet more audio content. And they don't want, and with iTunes being the biggest podcast directory out there, Spotify doesn't want people leaving Spotify to go to iTunes, especially if iTunes has a streaming audio service coming. And I mean, they have Beats, but if they have a good streaming audio service coming, you know, then this is a defensive play by Spotify that also, you know, whether it grows their business or not, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they're going to make money from this, or even if they care to make money from this. Apple doesn't. So
it may be at this point about not losing money.
Not losing
customers.
Yeah. Eardrums.
I mean, Spotify doesn't make money.
Right.
I mean, they're
right.
They're struggling from a business model standpoint, yeah. But this could well be, it's a play to keep Spotify relevant in an ever increasingly competitive field.
That's true.
So, honestly, for me, when I first started hearing that Spotify was having a thing and they were going to do stuff, the thing that I thought was the most notable here was that to me, this gave a lot more weight to the rumors that we'd been hearing about Apple negotiating with other companies about their streaming service, because this seems like a preemptive defensive move from Spotify, like you guys were saying.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to take a minute and tell you about, as well as thank, our sponsor for this week, which is Lynda, lynda.com/TDO. That's where you start. That gets you 10 free days of Lynda's fantastic training videos. They have over 2,000 videos there. And you may say, well, Lynda's been around for a long time. Of course, they've got 2,000 videos. Well, they expire videos that are no longer relevant. They're constantly adding new training. And these are extremely well produced from the experts in their fields. You know, we had one listener send in a list of things that he's learned. And Mike says, at work, I'm a sysadmin. Outside, I'm a live and studio audio engineer. And he says, Lynda has lots of great things on all of that. Recent videos I have watched are IT Security Fundamentals with Mike D'Angelo. I think I got that right, that name right. And Live Sound Engineering Techniques on Tour with Rush with Brent Carpenter. So these things run the gamut. I've watched accounting videos. I've watched business videos. I've watched programming videos. These are great things, and they're so well done, and it's really well priced. Yeah, you get 10 days free, Lynda, lynda.com/TDO, but then it's $25 a month. Hey, this is short money for things that you're actually going to be able to learn and apply on your job. Certainly, you could watch some of this stuff. You might be a live music fan. You just want to watch the live sound engineering techniques thing, and maybe you'll never use it, but maybe someday you will. And that's, you know, for entertainment or for education, $25 a month, short money. You got to check it out. It's a really fantastic service. I've used it. I think we all use it here. And you know, LinkedIn bought them for a lot of money for a good reason. This is the future of education, and you've got it right here at your fingertips. lynda.com/TDO is going to get you 10 days free of streaming access to all of Lynda's videos. And then from then on, it's $25 a month. Please check it out. And again, visit that link. That way they know we sent you to them. lynda.com/TDO. Thanks to you. And thanks to them. All right, Brian, bring us to our second topic for the day, if you would, please.
We got our first Apple Watch OS update, or Watch OS update, depending on where you're looking.
That's right. Well, that's true. So when Apple announced the watch back in the fall, they referred to an operating system for it called Watch OS, capital W, and then, of course, capital O, capital S. Yesterday's update on the knowledge base page is called Apple Watch OS 1.0.1. Everywhere else, though, it's still Watch OS. So I think the name is Watch OS. I think they screwed up, because when that knowledge base article initially went live, it said Apple Watch OS 101 in the text of the page, but the title of the page was just Watch OS. And then it changed.
It's probably going to be Watch OS before.
Yeah,
everything's said and done.
It's not Apple iOS. It's not Apple OS 10. It's just iOS.
Yeah, but there's a difference there. because the name of the product, I mean, Apple Watch is like Apple Pay, one of the few products that actually has Apple in the name, whereas iPhone doesn't, Mac doesn't.
True.
Right. So
true.
This is an operating system for the Apple Watch. So it could conceivably be Apple Watch OS, but I think that you're right. It's going to be Watch OS.
Yeah, it's been Watch OS. I think it will mm-hmm. be Watch OS. But anyway,
pedantry aside.
Yeah, what did it do?
So what Apple's release notes said is that it's basically bringing performance updates in a variety of areas. And interestingly enough, that's exactly what I thought it did right off the bat. And then Adam Christensen made an independent observation along the same lines. But my point being that actually I'm trying to pull up the release. Supposed to be performance improvements for Siri, measuring stand activity, calculating calories for indoor cycling and rowing, workouts, distance and pace during outdoor walk and run workouts, accessibility, third party apps, and display support for new emoji characters.
Right. And new emojis that were added in iOS 8.3. Are now visible on the watch.
So right. This is the Live Long and Prosper update.
Yes, that's right. It is. It's true. Yeah.
So actually, Dave, you were the first person I thought of when I was glancing at the release notes for the watch, because I remembered that you said you got a stand up reminder after having just walked in from the office.
Yes, the first thing I thought about too.
Yeah, I updated yesterday afternoon. I have not seen that happen yet. And in talking with Allison Sheridan and Steve Sheridan, Steve being Allison's husband, Allison being the producer of the NozillaCast podcast, they are very active and fit people, and they're also extremely competitive people. So Steve was very happy that whatever calculations the watch was previously doing gave him a lot more credit for standing hours during the day than it was giving Allison. And already by last night, they were matching neck and neck. The watch was actually correctly reporting Allison's standing. So I think that Steve was not entirely thrilled about this, but
to be a fly in that household.
Yeah. You can be. You just show up. Barry Falk did it once. It's, you know, you should. It's good. You don't live that far. So it seems like it does fix the measuring stand activity thing. I have messed around a bit with Siri. I'm not sure if the improved performance for Siri is supposed to be just Siri, which, remember, Siri is not your dictation engine. Siri is the command interface where you are speaking commands and having the watch answer your questions and do your different things. You can put your watch in airplane mode with Siri. I've done it. You can, you know, last night I asked for the score of the hockey game, which at like midnight was still in triple overtime, which was crazy. But, you know, that worked fine. I don't know if it was any faster. I'm on my home Wi-Fi network here. I got to try it when I'm out and about. But it may be dictation that gets better. It may just be Siri.
Siri was already really good on the watch.
Really good. I agree.
I mean, like better on the watch than it is on my phone. And that shouldn't be that actually shouldn't be possible.
I think the reason for that is we wind up putting our mouths much closer to the microphone when dictating to our watch.
Ooh.
That was sort of my thought, because I was using it quite a bit at Disney World last week. And I felt like, yeah, you know, if I put my phone right up here, it's just, you know, it's that whole thing. If I stand over here, you can hear me, but there's a lot of ambient noise and I'm in a quiet room. Right. You know, so I get closer to the mic. You get a better signal.
Walt Mossberg mentioned this in his month with an Apple Watch piece.
Yep.
And he said that Apple told him that they've received reports similar to his and they did not know the cause.
I think I know the cause.
Yeah, I think you may well be right. All right, so
Razor, right?
Nonetheless, it seemed right off the bat that that there was a lot of screen performance improvements, and you called me on that, And we ended up doing some testing.
Yeah, well, I always call into question. It reminded me of the, I updated my Mac OS to, whatever, 10.x. And, oh, my God, it's so much faster. Or I updated iOS to 8.0.x. And, oh, my God, it's so much faster. Most of the, anytime I hear those reports, my assumption, because it's been proven time and again, is that it has nothing to do with the software that was updated. It has to do with the process of updating that requires a reboot. Rebooting. And of course, the watch required a reboot too. And I had rebooted my watch last week, so I didn't see a whole lot of speed improvements with the, when I did this, it just didn't feel any faster. And that's the problem is, you get confirmation bias. Of course, you want it to be faster. You've been told it's faster. So you're going to believe that it's fast. It's very easy to believe that that you're seeing it faster. And in fact, you may have been seeing it faster. But when we did some comparisons with a freshly restarted but non-upgraded watch, thanks to Andrew Shallett in California there, stepping up for us at the wee hours last night, we got some videos and we did some comparisons and certainly I'll accept glances from this, and we'll talk a little bit about what we think's going on and what Apple has done with glances, but taking glances out of the mix, nothing seems any faster. No.
Yeah. From with freshly rebooted devices.
Yeah.
Now here it'll be interesting to see though if we'll just have to see how that works. Glances though is the one exception to this.
Yeah, I think what Apple has done with glances, and it's hard to tell because again, maybe the reboot makes a difference here, maybe it doesn't. Maybe what glances you're using or how many glances you're using make a difference, maybe it doesn't. But it seems like they are doing more caching of what data the glance had the last time you were there to give you the appearance of a swifter response. A lot of times, for those of you that have watches, you've probably seen this. If you don't have one, what happens is you go to the glances and you scroll over to, whatever one you want to see. And then the little wheel starts spinning. And a lot of times you just get a blurry screen, which is sort of the watches. I don't have anything to display right now, and I'm going to blur out the time behind me. Or the watch face behind me, I should say. And you wait. And sometimes you wait forever and it never updates. If the app isn't running in the background properly on your iPhone or, whatever, it can just go and that's it. And it seems like with 101, there's less of that. There's still the same lag, the same update wait. But instead of it being the blurry screen, a lot of times, but not all the times, it's showing you the data that you had there previously. So, if it checked for the weather an hour ago, that may be still valuable data to you to see the weather from an hour ago or your flight status for, your flight 2 days from now. Oh, okay, great. That's fine. I don't need that. I just want to know when's my next trip. Oh, it's June 10th for American Airlines. Great. That's all I need to know. And then it updates and it says, okay, that's 20 days from now, So I think that's what's going on with glances. We need more time with it or perhaps just, official word from Apple.
We do need more time with it, but very specifically for a subset of glances, screen response time is markedly faster in appearance.
Yeah, I disagree with it might be a little faster. I would not say markedly.
Which
ones?
Well, so I'm using, I currently have Yahoo Weather and the rest of my glances are the default Apple glances.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I'm just not getting any delay when I'm swiping back and forth. And there was a slight delay with 1.0. And we saw that in our videos of the rebooted device too.
Yeah. See, those delays were not for the Apple glances. Those delays were for third parties. And he had different glances on his phone. I'm not entirely convinced. And I certainly wouldn't say it's marked or.
Yeah, that was I probably shouldn't have used that particular adjective.
Yeah.
Adverb.
Yeah. I think there's a desire for it to be faster. I get it. I like you. I want it to be faster, but I don't. Belief doesn't always translate through. So.
Nonetheless, lynda.com/TDO.
Lynda.com/TDO. Go get your 10 free days there. And thanks for making this work today. Thanks for your time, Kelly.
And of course.
Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely. Thanks for hosting for Jeff.
My pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.